All right, welcome back to another exciting Around the Rim. This is our second one of the semester so far. This is the first one. We have a game to talk about. So,
yeah.
Joining me again, Sam P. Anthony.
Why are you going to emphasize Samuel. The P? Is that important?
I don't know. I think it's an interesting little name letter. I think a lot of men have like M's or R's or something. A P.
Is this your idea of small talk?
No, but I know.
It's how he talks to girls, actually.
Yeah, it's rough.
What's your middle name letter start with? I'm Luke. Letter. By the way, do you want to go to dinner sometime?
That's it.
Wow.
That's the move right there. We call that the Yoast.
That is the role. I'm Luke Yoast, Samuel Anthony, and Nicholas Hedrick.
Yeah.
Why do you use everyone's full names, too?
I don't know. I feel it's more proper.
He's a fan. Big fan.
I'm a big fan. I'd also do another radio show with Nicholas Hedrick. Or Nick, as
Hi.
I like to call him.
Strange.
Anyway. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's
Wednesdays at 9.
Back to
not this week, though.
Not this week. No, I wasn't on this week. But anyway, back to the topic at hand, women's basketball. Sam, they played Youngstown State last night. They lost in overtime, 69-59. You know, what are your thoughts on it? How did it look from your perspective?
So here's the thing. All right. It was a good game because Robert Morris started down, and they battled, and they outplayed them in the fourth quarter. They took that lead. They were up 56-54 with 9 seconds left, and the defensive play was perfect. The Gwynns, as they go by, sent the ball into the paint, and Robert Morris trapped him right in the middle, and the pass was sent outside, and a two-point shot was hit with 1 second left. It was a long two, and, I mean, it was a lucky sequence that Youngstown was able to, and I think from there – I think Robert Morris was just drained, and in overtime it was. I mean, Youngstown outscored him 13-3. Final score was 69-59. I know Nick's excited about that Penguins score, 69, but he did mention before the show if he could bring it up, but I brought it up already. I'm sorry.
You know, I don't have much, but you know, just take what little I do have. It's fine.
So all right, so then I'll toss it to you then, because you know, I don't know if you're looking at the numbers like I am right now, but what did you see from that game that really caught your eye? That's what I want to know.
I saw the 18 turnovers.
Yep.
And I saw they played 12 people, and 6 of them had more than one turnover.
Yeah, that's fair.
And I mean, Youngstown State had 15 of their own, but still, you look at the points: 24 points off turnovers. For Youngstown State, 14 for Robert Morris. That's 10 points. That's the differential of the final score right there.
You are correct. That's 100% correct.
I'm a great. I got a guess. What I got my last math test?
100%.
69%.
Oh man!
But I can do that.
Wow!
1,000.
He's still got a joke in there on 69.
I can
so
do
good
that.
For him.
Good for him.
I mean, and here's the thing. Last year, from Robert Morris, we knew that was the issue. We knew that turnovers were ultimately the issue for the Colonials. It's what cost them against St. Francis twice, and it's what cost them in every major game, was holding on to the basketball. Now, granted, I will say, usually the biggest culprit of that is Hinoki Komatsu. I've seen her with as many as, you know, 6, 7, 8 turnovers. She just had 2. So from a Ikamatsu perspective of turnovers, I'm happy with that. And for the fact that she was 5 for 9 from 3-point range, and that's huge.
Yeah, 15 points, all threes,
all from behind the arc.
This is crazy.
I mean, but she is one of the most efficient 3-point shooters, not only in the conference but in the entire country. So
that is statistically correct.
You're going to see a lot of, in my opinion, you know, her taking 9, 10 3-point shots in a game because that's the bread and butter. We talked about it last week.
She
Someone
41% last year, 42% somewhere around that ballpark.
Well, and it's interesting. So. Not to switch totally from the game, but if you notice the starting lineup, Callahan was put in the starting lineup, Ikamatsu off the bench. But I think it's interesting because you put in a player like Augustin, but then you see players like, you know, Bella Possett and Hinoki Ikamatsu get more minutes despite not starting, which I kind of like because you kind of don't know who's going to get the most minutes every game. And it shows the depth.
Yeah, that's what they did, especially at the end of last year. They started doing that more in the conference tournament where, you know, you would see Ikamatsu being the starting point guard one game, Augustin the next game, and then Ikamatsu take 2 more or something like that. And they would go back and forth, and you kind of just have to – you can't really plan for that because it's something you're not going to see until the game starts. And
right.
For me, what stood out in this one was you know, Sam talked about the defensive effort towards the end of the game and how, like, I watched the play. It should have been a turnover. She got the ball out, and they hit a short corner jump shot that tied it, sent it overtime. And when they got to overtime, they had at least all but three of their players were in to double-digit minutes in that game. There was nobody on the bench that was fresh, I guess is the best word to say. Nobody on the bench that was productive in the game that was fresh. That's a better way of putting it from what I saw.
I mean, I don't know if double-digit minutes necessarily defines, you know, being fresh or not, because, I mean, when you have players that have, you know, 12 minutes and 17 minutes compared to 41, 40, 41, you know.
Yeah. I'm just saying that for me, like, what I would – like, so these people, they have to come off the bench. You know, Ikemetsu played half the game even though she didn't start.
That's very interesting, though, because we talked about the rotation last game.
Yeah.
And, I mean, Posit played 27 minutes. That was the second most out of anybody in the game.
Yeah.
And she didn't start. Azimamadou played 23. That was more than three of the starters. I think this was still largely a feeling out process of who meshes well together.
I agree. And, you know, it's also new roles, filling in new things, seeing what's going on. But I think it's also just the way this team's built.
Absolutely.
You're going to see, and like you said, when they feel what's going on, who works well with who, because I think you guys would agree with me, basketball is largely a game of chemistry.
Yeah.
I mean, again, you see it. I hate using NBA examples on these college shows, but you see it every time LeBron goes to a new team. There's kind of like this learning curve because it's all these new people, and you're trying to learn to play around your big stars. And
well, did you see the highlight from the Warriors from the other day?
No, I did not.
Like, they all touched the ball, the super fluid, they got a dunk inside.
Wow.
Like, everyone touched the ball.
There was, like, three dribbles the whole play.
Yeah, they were.
It was ridiculous.
He's right. There were, like, three dribbles. Everybody touched the ball, they got it in the post, he dunked the ball. I don't remember who dunked it, but somebody dunked it.
Draymond finished it off, yeah.
And so, and that's the whole idea is, you know, again, chemistry. When you work together, when you play together for a long time, you start to get that feel. And, you know, again, you have to understand – you lost two big players in Megan Smith and Mikaela Mulray, players at 8 minutes, but players that also really facilitated on the floor, were kind of the voice and the leaders. And then, you know, the leaders who, you know, are coming back onto the floor this year. I mean, in terms of your seniors, Dashiell and Nia Adams, Dashiell didn't play, which doesn't totally surprise me because Dashiell's role is still more of, I think, in the leadership. But Nia Adams, like, you got to understand, you know, she's been a player that's been dying to get back out on the floor. But a lot of these freshmen and sophomores have never played in a game situation with Nia Adams. And so Nia will continue to be a starter, I believe. But that's going to be a learning curve. And so I think Nick's right. I don't think this is super shocking. I think this is kind of what you expect with the turnovers and with kind of the spread out points and minutes is Coach B has to figure all of this out. And if there's anyone I have faith in figuring it out, it's Coach B, because I think he's the best coach in the Northeast Conference. And that's just – maybe that's just me, but I will stand by that through and through.
I'm not going to argue against you.
Yeah, I'm glad you won't.
And you can get all 12 – well, not all 12 are super involved, but, I mean, you get 12 players on the floor. Most of them contributed in some way. That's a big deal.
The big thing that stuck out to me in terms of contributions was the fact that Nneka Zibo was 3 for 12. And so the thing with that is that Nneka lives under the basket.
Yes.
And the big thing she's worked on since she was a freshman was kind of having different moves. So working in the post, having a hook shot, being able to kind of do a spin move, you know, more things to make her more dynamic under the basket.
Right.
Clearly it was not working last night. And when you get the most amount of shots, and granted, she also had 3 offensive rebounds. So I'm guessing some of those shots came from those offensive rebounds, but still, ultimately, only 6 points, really struggled to get into the basket. When you can score from the inside, it's going to make it easier for Ikemetsu on the outside.
Had trouble getting around the rim.
Oh, man.
No, look at that.
Oh, you know, this is why we brought Nick Hedrick on the show.
I'm just here to make puns and throw out a stat once in a while.
Yeah, but I agree. Yeah, the lack of production from really anybody but Ikemetsu, Megan Callahan, and Nadej Pluvos was kind of a shocking thing to look at.
I will say, very, very, very happy with Pluvios' performance.
Yes.
I don't want to pretend like I know everything because I don't, but it's something I expected. Someone who she showed flashes of it her freshman and her sophomore year, and now that, again, those big forwards, Smith and Mulrain, have graduated, someone needed to go in and fill that role. And here's the thing. If there's a game where Nedej and Nneka are clicking on the inside, that's a tough tandem to stop.
And then you throw Ozymomodu in there as a third option. Exactly. And you just rotate through.
And here's the thing. Ozymomodu, she was playing on the, I believe it was the U19 team for Great Britain in the, it was the FIBA Europe Women's World Cup Tier B. But she looked good. She was impressive. She was one of the best players on that team. And this is what they brought her in for. You know, you didn't see a lot of Ozymomodu last year. And again, it's because there was a lot of talented players in front of her. But, you know, we spent a lot of time talking about the guards.
True.
Ikamatsu, you know, Callahan, Augustin. But, I mean, inside in those forward positions, you have some very, very – I mean, it's going to be exciting to watch, especially when you get towards conference play.
Well, that brings me to something I wanted to talk about.
What do you want to talk about, Nick?
Laura Carrasco played 2 minutes yesterday.
Yeah.
And we were talking about where all these young guards are going to fall in the shuffle.
And I know Luke Yost said he had big expectations for Laura Carrasco.
Is she going to be the one that gets kind of lost?
Yes.
Or do you think this is just a one-time thing?
No. Luke, I'm going to let you defend yourself in a second here because I know you're going to defend Laura. But here's the thing. Laura played in 32 games last year. She didn't start in any of them. She still played about 13 minutes a game. But you got to understand, her minutes were way bigger at the beginning of the year. And then as the season went on, you started to see her kind of fall off, and there were games where she really didn't even get in. I think there's a lot of room for her to improve, and I think they're waiting to see that. So, and the thing with that is, too, is they have so many talented players. And until she starts to really show what she's capable of, and again, I think she can be capable of a lot, but as of right now, I believe Laura Carrasco should not even be on the floor.
Ooh, that's hot. That's a hot take.
There's hot takes, then there's hot takes. What a scorching take.
So Luke Yost, why should Laura Carrasco be on the floor? Prove me wrong.
Okay.
Statistic information from your brain and yeah.
From my brain and not the numbers I'm looking at in front of me.
Filibuster.
Ooh. I would say that Laura Carrasco has yet to find her niche on this team.
So what do you mean by that?
That, like, when, let's see, pre-RMU stuff, let's see, no stats there that are meaningful.
You're putting him on the spot right now. He's scrambling right now.
But
he's scrambling.
For me, is like, you know, I haven't seen enough of Laura Carrasco play to realize, like, okay, I've seen enough to realize what, I don't say needs to happen, because, like, it's not my decision, but I think she needs to develop this defensive role, a defensive mindset where she just comes in and stops whoever's, you know, scorching the RMU defense. I think that's what she needs to do, but it hasn't happened, and I don't know if she's that type of player.
Why do you say a defensive mindset?
Are you trying to say she's the defensive anchor of this RMU team?
Yeah.
I mean, of the guards.
She's the reason they were the best defensive team in the conference last year?
Not last year, but I'm saying for her to see minutes, she has to become a defensive anchor.
So 13 minutes a game last year, she averaged approximately slightly less than one steal a game and 2 points per game and 0.8 assists per game and 1.3 rebounds per game. But this isn't 13 minutes. So you're telling me that her niche is defensive because – I'm not buying it right now because I promise you I can pull up Augustin's numbers or Callahan's numbers or any other guard's numbers, and their defensive numbers will be better than Carrasco's.
You know what, Sam Anthony? Yeah, I got nothing.
She had one good game, all right? She had one good game, and it was against Cal Poly. She had 13 points. She had 3 for 6 from three-point range. So you know it's there. You know that she can find it when she needs to. She went 4 for 9 total, and it wasn't even her most minutes. Her most minutes were 29 against Monmouth. But here's the thing. It's just very inconsistent. And so that's why I think that, again, and it's not that Laura Carrasco is an awful player. I'm not trying to say Laura Carrasco is an awful player. What I'm saying is that this team is so talented, and they have so much depth. What she provides, this niche that you've described, Luke Yost,
yes.
They don't need her to fill that niche because everyone else fills those roles.
Yeah, I get it.
Wow. He just laid down and died.
I wasn't ready to defend. I had no idea what I was going to talk about.
But if you're going to disclaim all these things, you should have.
It's like, true, because you got to remember these hot takes for later in the season when we do this. Because, yes. Again, I've been thrown out. Because if Laura Carrasco starts playing well, you could send it the other way.
I could.
But she's not. I'm telling you right now. She's not.
Just keep hammering it home.
But you know what? Again,
if I said Azebo's niche was to go out there and get tons of assists a game and just say that without any statistical information to prove it, that's essentially what you just did.
No, that would literally be like picking like a guard and being like, yeah, their niche is to go get blocks. Like, I appreciate your effort, and I love the effort by you.
I tried.
You came into that with no ammo.
I shouldn't be seeing minutes either. It's okay.
My interview with ESPN is in a minute, so I'll have to depart us.
All right, well, Nick, thank you for stopping by.
I'd like to point out, in terms of chemistry, Posit had 8 assists.
That's huge.
I'd like to point that out. That's something I'd like to point out before I depart you all.
No, I'm really glad you pointed that out, because actually that, you know, I'm just going to keep talking about it. You depart.
Thank you. Go talk to ESPN.
Next week we'll have
a great time. I appreciate it. You guys are going to kill it.
See you next
Sam,
week.
Nick's a busy guy.
Get on Luke if he says something stupid again.
I know, but there's no one to like pile on.
I'm going
really
to.
Fun
it's
when
just
you pile
going.
On.
It's going
to
happen.
Oh, I know. I've done podcasts with you for a year. I know it's
inevitable. Yeah, I said some really dumb stuff.
He's hot takes, but with no support for said hot takes.
Yes, that is true. I did say Tiger is back, though, and he was.
But you know how people said Tiger? Yeah, that, no, yeah, that's, yeah, you just got called out again. Sorry, you're, yeah. So, let's talk about the fact, and, yeah, so Bella Posit, let's start with her. 27 minutes, 8 assists. So you're talking about, you know, Robert Morris has these players that can really score.
Yes.
Callahan, you have Ikemetsu, you have players inside that can score, Pluvios. And Azebo, having a player like Posit, Luke Yost, answer this question for me. How key is that? Because the thing is, this team has always been one of the best defensive teams. Last year they held Youngstown, I think, 47 points, something ridiculous like that. How important is having a player like Posit to adding, you know, some offensive firepower?
Yes. It's extremely important, because having somebody that can get the ball inside is – the key to this offense. This offense thrives when this offense is at its best when Azebo and Pluvos and Mamadou are going and getting rebounds, putting up shots, scoring the basketball, because that draws a defense in. Now, on the flip side of that, this is what happened last year. Same thing happened last year. They would get hot, like Megan Smith would start scoring in the beginning of the game, and then that would lead to Callahan getting open shots on the outside, because you'd have to come in and double her with a guard or somebody that can get a quick steal, punch the ball, do whatever. So for somebody like Bella Posit on this team, is that you have that person who can find those people down low and get them going early and get them scoring within the first few minutes of the game. And with that, you turn around and you start getting shots outside. And when you get shots outside, that's when you're going to see Ikemetsu having 15 points all from behind the arc. Callahan's going to get better. It's only the first game. There's not a lot to really, you know, performance-wise in this game, it was a good, I would say, even though it was a loss, it was a good kind of game to watch, where you see people kind of filling these, how these people are going to play throughout the season, how they're going to shuffle up, and how they're going to... This is going to be a loss in the record books, but at the same time, it's a really good teaching moment for us to see. Okay,
yeah.
In this situation, we're going to expect to see these five on the floor.
Exactly.
In this situation, we see these five, and the same thing for, you know, Coach B and his staff, where he's going to go, okay, we're down, you know, five here. We haven't moved the ball well. Bella Posit into the game. You know what I mean? That's really what this is going to come down to, is how they're going to rotate these. This core of guards that's probably one of the best in the conference, I would say.
Yeah.
And
without a doubt, this is the best core of guards in the entire conference. No team. Now, granted, Jessica Kovach is by far, she will probably win NEC Player of the Year again. I'm not going to beat her on the bush. I'm not going to kid with you. She's
good.
I mean, she's too good for the Northeast Conference. But there's nothing behind her. And that's going to be St. Francis's weakness. And that's where Robert Morris comes in with all this youth and this depth to come in and build a team. And, you know, again, like you said, having all these different places to build opportunities and other places for other people. And I just wanted to point out, since we started on the topic of Posset, you know, 8 assists. And you got to realize that last year, the team leader in assists was Hideki Komatsu with 90. 90 assists in 32 games. That is less than 3 assists per game, which means that have a lot of people that are scoring.
And on the flip side of that, how many times did she turn the ball over?
101.
Exactly.
So the ratio is not good.
Exactly. I don't want to compare basketball to football in any way, but this is probably the best comparison you can have, is that it's the same thing as for a quarterback. Quarterback, one of the stats that make quarterbacks relevant is their touchdowns to interceptions.
Yeah.
And, you know, a guy from Alabama, Tua, I don't want to try his last name because that's ridiculously long. But, he threw, 50? It was a lot of touchdowns, 30-plus before his first interception. Yeah. So that's something that you're going to see in, you know, basketball. You're going to turn the ball over more than 3 times in a year. But it's good to see that they have somebody that can facilitate an offense. And I think, you know, if she's not scoring, that's fine for this team. But if she's not scoring but getting other people open looks to score, that's what she needs to do.
Well, and here's the thing. This is the first time, again, you can practice and practice and practice with a team, but it's still not the same as going full speed in a game. You know, basketball's a little different than some sports because you can almost create that because, again, it's not like football where you
line
tackle.
Up and you go, yeah.
But considering the fact that she had 8 assists against, you know, in her first game as a Colonial with players that she's never played in a actual collegiate game with, that's huge. That's something that when they go play LaSalle on Sunday, it's something that if you're a fan, if you're a reporter, if you're anyone watching this Robert Morris team, that's something you have to pay attention to. Without a doubt in my mind, Bella Posset has the potential to be a rookie of the year in the Northeast Conference.
Without
she
a doubt.
Has a chance to stand out. And it's the scoring will come. The scoring will come. And that's just because, again, that's the way this Robert Morris offense is built. Is, again, there was only one player last year that averaged double-digit scoring, and that was Nneka Azeebo. And that's because the way this team was built was to distribute the basketball. And you're going to see more players in double-digit scoring this year because of the fact that you have a player like Posset that can distribute. And because she can distribute, she'll be out on the floor.
And efficiently, too.
Yes, and she'll be out on the floor. 27 minutes. I expect that to be the lowest minutes you'll see from her. I expect that to only get higher as the season goes on because, again, you're going to start seeing, hey, these players are contributing more. They're going to get more minutes. She clearly did her role of earning more minutes because, again, I don't know if you watched the men's basketball game last night. Maddie McConnell, who in most people's opinions would be the leader on that team, not a single point, but 10 rebounds and 8 assists.
8 assists, yeah, I saw that.
The guy was dishing the rock around, fantastic. And he made everyone else better, and they were competing with USC, the University of Southern California, in Los Angeles, in their home opener, because of the fact that he was distributing.
Yes.
That is a huge part of this team. And again, the biggest weakness of this team, and the reason that St. Francis was able to get 2 of those 3 games against them, was because they had struggles offensively. They kept St. Francis in the game. In the conference championship game, because despite the fact that Kovac wasn't scoring because their defense was working, their offense doesn't build a big enough cushion. That is the definite 100% weakness of this team, is that they can't blow teams out a lot because the scoring's so low. So having a player like that, and again, having players like Ikemata, who again, the biggest concern was, hey, what players are going to have sophomore slumps? She came out and shot 5-9 from 3-point range. That's not a sophomore slump to me, and I know it's only been one game, but it was a good Youngstown team. And even though it was a loss, to me, I saw a lot of things I like to see again. You don't want to see just 59 points, but it's a start.
Yes.
And it's a development, and it's a process. And you have to trust the process.
Trust the process.
Trust the process.
I trust the process.
I know you do.
And more. Okay, so this is a question. Special sponsor. This is a question.
All right, let's hear it.
With the absence of the seniors leaving last year, how does that change the defense for this team? They were the best defense in the conference.
Yeah.
Does it change it drastically, or is it just...
Oh, my gosh. Yes. Because
I'm
going to
say this
words.
Right now.
Two
Jocelyn
words.
Jones.
Exactly.
The best defensive player I've ever seen.
She had 80 steals on this team, and the next closest was Hinoki Komatsu with 39.
Yeah.
There was no other player that reached 40. And Jocelyn Jones had 80. And she, again, I love Jocelyn Jones as a great story, as someone who didn't really see a lot of minutes her sophomore and her junior year. And she came out senior year and was just, she was a monster. And you're right. I mean, because again, if you watch those same, I'm going to keep referencing the St. Francis games because that was the best team in the conference. They won the regular season of the conference and they won the tournament. They put Jocelyn Jones on Jessica Kovac every time because Jessica Kovac, the best player in the NEC, the best scorer, might be one of the best scorers in the entire nation, if you ask me.
Best pure scorer.
Best pure scorer. And the thing was, is that Jocelyn Jones was the only one that could defend her. And that's the only concern I have is when Robert Morse plays St. Francis is who the heck is going to, because no other player on this Robert Morse team, unless someone proves me wrong, is it going to be Laura Carrasco? I don't think so. But no one player on this Robert Morse team can stop a player like Kovac.
Yep.
And you saw that again against Youngstown State. And it's the intensity, it's the pressure that she was able to provide. And again, having a player like Jones to take the best player, best scorer on your team out of a game makes it so much easier for everybody else. And I think you're going to see that. But I also think that, again, I'm going to go back to my guy, Coach B. He's a great coach. He's a smart coach. He'll figure it out. He's going to, whether that's changing the style of defense you run, whether, you know, it's switching, you know, running what type of zone or doing more man-to-man or considering doing maybe a half-court press, which I don't think they'll do, they're going to figure it out because that seems to be where his strength is. You know, every coach has their strength. His strength is definitely and that comes from what he preaches in terms of, you know, working hard at practice, out-hustling.
His preparation with that team is one of the best I've ever seen.
Yes, the man is the most prepared coach at Robert Morris, the most prepared coach in the Northeast Conference in terms of women's basketball. I can't say enough good things about Coach B. And to me, that's why I'm never worried about this team. And again, they have a ridiculous amount of talent.
Yes.
But where their defense may lack this year, I think you're going to see enough improvements in the offense.
Turnover margin.
Yes.
So they had 10 steals against Youngstown State. But the LaSalle team they're playing, their next opponent is LaSalle.
The Explorers.
The Explorers, yes. They play them on Sunday. You're going to be there. I'm going to be there.
We're going to be there live.
It's gonna be
we're not going to be on the air live, but we're going to be there.
We'll watch.
In person.
We'll witness it.
Yes.
This LaSalle team, this is why I asked about the scoring. This LaSalle team averaged 28 turnovers last year. Turnovers per game, they averaged 28 turnovers. Is that something that this team has to they have to get out and get steals against this team? Or like, are they going to lack that because of the absence of Jocelyn Jones?
That's tough because here's the thing. You know, is there someone who can fill that role? And
yeah.
In my head right now, I can't really think of one. And I know, again, you're big. You know, again, Laura Carrasco can fill that niche that needs to be filled.
It could happen.
It's starting to seem like more and more of a point. But what I will say is, and looking at these numbers here again, the only player that had more than two steals, guess who? Bella Possett.
Yep.
Can she be that person that fills both those roles? She's athletic enough to do it.
She could be a game breaker.
She's a sensational athlete. I can't emphasize enough how excited I am to see her finally in person on Sunday.
I've witnessed it before.
And it's good,
great,
right?
To watch.
It's impressive.
Great to watch.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But more importantly, what's your predictions on this one?
My predictions on this one is Robert Morse is going to win. They're going to win. I think they're going to win 71-57. I think it's going to be convincing. I'm happy with what they did against Youngstown. I expect them to get better every game.
Yep. I think I like the old 68 margin. 68-63. It's going to be close down the stretch.
Well, and just another thing to point out, they also had 28 turnovers in their first game against Howard this year. LaSalle did.
Yep.
So again, turnovers will be an issue for them.
Yes. But are they an issue for Rob Morris? That is
not as much this year. Not as much this year. You heard it here first.
Thank you for coming on. I guess I had to thank you, right?
Why do you have to thank me? I'm coming on every week.
I don't know. But Nick Hedrick will be back for the full show next week. Hopefully he gets fired, one of the two. So, you want to play us out real quick?
Oh, dude. I'll play us out.
All right.
Give me a sec here. We're going to play some tunes.
All right. Get some tunes going.